My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Now, back to
Will and Divvy
on 95.7 The Game.
That's right. We're back.
Been back.
Yeah, it's go time. It's go time. And all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Adam Amin, who called the game last night, was on with us earlier. You can check that out on YouTube or the Odyssey app. If you missed it, make sure you subscribe and do that for all three shows here on 95.7 The Game and catch all of our best content. So, guy says this to me over the weekend, and I'm trying to sort of figure out if this is an okay way to look at it. It's going to be challenging. But he says, hey, you know, once you accept that the Giants are just a 500 team, nothing more, nothing less, you will have a much more enjoyable experience watching them. And I went, okay. I don't know if that's true. I can't deny it because I can't get myself to the point of just accepting that they are 500 and stink, even though that message has been pounded into my head for well over 120 games.
Yeah, 126.
Okay.
63-63.
Because acceptance is if you care, if you don't care about Giants baseball, then you don't care.
Right.
But if you care, acceptance of that fact feels like a defeat in and of itself, doesn't it?
Yes and no. It really feels like a defeat relative to where you were at the start of the year when you were 0-0 and you thought, okay, you know, Snell and we got Jung-Hoo Lee and this team's going to be more exciting. They should be better and I like our chances, 85 wins and maybe this and that and you have all these hopes and then you get 126 games in and you've been slightly above 500. You've been slightly below, but by and large, you've been two steps forward, three steps back, three steps forward and two steps back. You've been this kind of team and just hearing you lay that out, it reminded me of being a Cal football fan. And my son went to Cal. I prefer Cal over Stanford, but you're a Cal football fan. And, you know, the season's about to start. Week zero is coming up this Saturday. And if you're a Cal fan, you're looking at the schedule and you're not thinking national championship. You're not thinking Pac-12 championship. It doesn't exist anymore. You're not even thinking about really any championship. You're probably thinking, you know what? If we can make it to a bowl game, that would be good.
Yeah.
How about we go, let's go 6-6, let's go 7-5, and let's make a bowl game. And that's kind of where you are now as a Giants fan, and it's kind of a sad reality. If you're a Cal football fan, you've been there, because they haven't been phenomenal in really my whole life. I mean, they've had a couple of flash years, but unfortunately now, being a Giants fan is kind of like that, where, and I like what your friend was saying about, you know, the acceptance. We talked about the five stages of grief a lot, the Kubler-Ross model, and you get to acceptance where, you know, you realize, okay, this is who the Giants are, and I've come to accept that, so then maybe you can enjoy the last 5 weeks of their season, and, you know, they might They might somehow make it into the wild card. I doubt it, but you just enjoy the last 36 games and, you know, hope that you can enjoy the 18 wins more than you enjoy the 18 losses.
An 85-win season would mean going 22-14 the rest of the way.
Sure.
Although it would mean going 19-14 the rest of the way against the difficult part of the schedule, because that would presuppose they win these next three against the absolutely dreadful Chicago White Sox, which they probably won't do.
Yeah.
But they should. They're that bad. But anyway,
well, I 30 times the White Sox have won baseball games, I'm being told.
Yeah, they'll probably, the Giants will probably take two out of three. That's probably what will happen over over these next three. They probably need to win all three, and I don't even know what need means. I mean, we've reached a point where it's like 85 wins will get you in. I don't know that. I don't know that. The Braves might win 86. I don't know. You know what I mean? That might not be good enough. But I just look at this and I go, all right, you're 63-63. You're clearly not great. You're not great. So I don't know why you would swagger into a room. But you need to start swaggering into a room. And I don't know if there's a way to fake it to make it. But there is stuff that I am watching that is so mind-boggling in terms of how bad the Giants are overthinking their game. And how deeply rooted their confidence problem is, okay? When you've got, and I'm trying to think of what the score was. I'm pretty sure, Grandy, back me up on this. Still 0-0. Still 0-0.
You talking about Saturday?
No, yesterday.
Okay, yeah.
So they don't score Saturday. And then they hadn't scored on Sunday.
Yeah, for a while.
So
the seventh.
We're looking at a good solid 15 innings of goose in Oakland. Okay? And somebody gets a hit. I forget who it was. I think it might Chappie maybe got a walk. Something happened. And then Casey Schmidt came up. And I'm like, kids, gather around. Watch this. Watch this. There's going to be a nice breeze coming through here pretty soon. This guy swings at everything. I'm sorry, Casey, but come on, man. Stop swinging at everything. But he swings, and he cues one off the end of the bat. And a little squibber gets right by the first baseman, and it goes into short right field. And it's hit so softly that it doesn't get out to the right fielder and whoever the runner was. I think it was a Chapman?
Chapman, leadoff single, Encarnacion struck out, and then the Schmidt single that you're talking about.
Squibber!
That ball got Schmidt on.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it didn't.
First baseman.
I'm okay. I just have my shares of eating shit. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
We'll allow it. I allowed it. Grandy didn't. He dumped it.
So off Chappie goes to third base. First and third, one out. 0-0. What inning, Grandy? What inning?
Top of the fifth.
We haven't scored all weekend long.
0-0 tie.
Have not scored since Thursday. And you got first and third and one out. Gee, what could go wrong? I get that that situation has been awful for the Giants this year. Here comes Mike Yastrzemski. Now, lefty is still throwing. Is that right? The lefty is still throwing.
Yeah, JP Sears.
All right. Sears is still throwing. So, okay.
Tough on lefties.
Tough matchup. I get it. First pitch.
Swing and a drive.
No. First pitch.
I've been wrong a lot this segment.
We square.
Oh, boy.
Two bunt. Not a squeeze play. Chapman is one step off of third base just watching the game, which tells me that we're doing a safety squeeze, which when you haven't scored all weekend, that's one way of being like, well, yeah, we just, you know, like we're trying something. And of course, predictably, Yaz, boop.
Pop him up
in foul ground.
Oh, jeez.
The catcher easily grabs it. Rally over. That's the end of that.
Mm.
I've never watched a professional sports team think less of itself than this Giants team does. To where you have first and third with one out in a scoreless tie, and collectively you think to yourself, I don't see any way that we're going to score here.
Well, you just said it. They hadn't scored since Thursday.
But I don't even know how many of those kinds of opportunities they had. It's not like there were runners at third all weekend. There weren't any runners on at all.
Yeah, on Saturday.
This is the first rally that they had, and they took one pitch to kick themselves out of it without even attempting to drive the run in. Not a squeeze, a safety squeeze. So in other words, it's like, we're going to play a trick on you and see if it works.
By the way, Yaz better against lefties than righties this year also. Hitting 275 against lefties, 230 against righties.
I'm not here to criticize you. I'm here to ask you why you hate yourself so much.
They hadn't scored since Thursday, Mark. And okay. This was a Sunday afternoon. So
they didn't play Friday.
What I'm saying is not wrong, okay?
It's not
you
wrong.
Put up a six spot against Atlanta in a gutsy sweep avoider.
Yeah.
You avoid the sweep with a six-pack of runs, so you didn't score since Thursday, and it was in the eighth inning, so you don't score at all on Friday. You get shut out Saturday, and here you are with ducks on the pond in the fifth on Sunday. I like to play. I like the player.
No, you don't.
I like to play.
No, you don't.
Push your little Bunsky. Yastrzemski, Bunsky, RBI, he beats it out.
I mean,
popped him up.
You try to bunt to the third baseman and have Chapman shadow. Some people are like, what the hell's a safety
Chapman's
squeeze?
Chapman's got some speed now.
Right, but we got to protect for himself now. So you bunt to the third baseman.
Yeah.
Third baseman fields it. Chapman follows the third baseman down the line. If the third baseman throws to first, you take off for home plate and you try to steal that run. If the third baseman doesn't throw to first, well, you scurry back to third base.
And they're loaded.
Which gets you what?
One more crack at another buck.
Exact same situation that you're already in. That's all I want to know, Giants. Like, I get it. I get that you've been through some wars here.
Yeah.
Why do you hate yourself so much? You don't think there's any chance that Mike Yastrzemski get a fly ball? No chance?
Obviously, he didn't feel that. First pitch. Bunting.
So forget the execution of it. It's like a little league coach. Well, we're not going to get mad at the physical errors. We're going to get mad at the mental errors. I'm a little bit more upset at the mental side. Physical side, not good either. Not good either. That's not good execution. Pop the ball right up in the air on foul ground, and you're out. So I don't like the execution, but I hate the idea even more. And it was at that moment that I think I tweeted, the Giants are just playing laughable baseball. Because, by the way, that also came in the fifth inning. If you watched the game, you know what I'm talking about. There had just been inning after inning of ridiculousness on the base paths. Every supposedly fast Giant was getting thrown out at second base when they got to first. They just take off. Let's steal. And they were out by a mile. Yaz, Fitzgerald, Chapman, everybody. You're out, you're out, you're out. They're just getting crushed. This is one of the worst base-stealing teams I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, pretty slow group.
I don't know, man. It's very, very hard to watch.
Yeah, it's tough.
So I'm supposed to believe now that if I just accept... I just accept that when you go to first base, you're going to get thrown out at second. That when it happens, I'll enjoy it more?
No, it's the overall acceptance of what this team is and what the product is, which is you've got a couple of really good pitchers, and Blake Snell, he might get $50 million a year next year in the offseason.
He's unbelievable.
He is unbelievable. And Logan Webb has been sturdy and solid all year, and you've got that to hang your hat on. You've got some individuals who've been pretty good. Patrick Bailey, my God, can we give him like a week off?
Holy hell.
If they could send him down, if they had another guy who could actually catch, give him a week. Can you just give Patrick Bailey a little breather? Like your boy, the Dibber Claws, I got 3 days off last week. It was an unbelievable recharge. I needed it. Patrick Bailey needs a similar thing. Can he have a three-day vacation where he can just go somewhere and read a book and sit on a hammock and not have to worry about actually trying to hit a baseball? His turns at the plate are akin to what the White Sox are doing as a team.
It is. Go look at the numbers, and it will blow you away.
I just looked at the White Sox numbers. They've lost 31 of their last 35. They are 4-31 in the last 35 baseball games, the White Sox.
And you can't sweep that team?
You better.
You better sweep that team now.
Yeah, seriously. But I mean, that's basically where Patrick Bailey is, though. His season of late has been what the White Sox have been doing of late.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
This is a quick aside because you mentioned Blake Snell.
Okay.
And how much money he's going to get. Do you know how many games Blake has started? I've got all the numbers in front of you, in front of me. The heater that he is on, do you know how many games it's been?
It's been like 8 games,
that
I think.
That is a correct statement. That is a correct statement.
Yeah, look at me.
In those 8 games.
It's rare.
In those 8 games, all of them quality starts. What's the Giants' record?
Oh, I thought you were looking it up. No,
no, I'm asking
those 8
you.
Games,
I got it in front of me.
Based on the way that everything's been this year, they're probably 5-3.
They're 6-2.
Okay.
Do you know what Blake Snell's record is?
In those games?
In those 8 games.
If they're 6-2 as a team, he's probably 3-1. Maybe 2-1. Yeah, I'm going to go 2-1.
He's 2-0.
2-0. Whatever, Grandy. I was on a little bit of a roll. Blake? I know that he won the game where he threw a no-hitter.
So here, you get a win for the wins.
Yeah.
And then a loss.
Okay, and a loss for losses, yeah.
I felt better.
Blake Snell, during this heater of 8 outings, has thrown a total of, I'm going to do the, let's see, quick math here.
I have it for you. You want it?
52 1/3 innings.
Correct.
52 1/3 innings. How many runs do you think he's given up in 52?
Well, I'm afraid to answer with Grandy so close to the buzzer, but
by the way, all the runs that he's given up, they're all earned.
Yeah.
So it's the same answer. Earned.
I think the answer is
52 1/3.
5?
Oh, so close.
8.
He did give him up.
6?
6.
Grandy was trying to help me.
How many hits? 54 1/3 innings. How many hits?
14. Oh, God.
20.
All right. I was trying to sound it out and see if Grandy would tip it off.
20 hits. How many strikeouts? 52 1/3 innings.
Oh, it's more than a strikeout per inning. I would say it's 73.
Hit the buzzer. 70.
Oh, that's
pretty
close.
Good. That's pretty, but you overbid. Anyway. Anyway.
That's a good little run. It's 70 and 53.
He is on a stunning. I don't know if I can remember in my at least recent life watching a pitcher go on a streak like this. And I know that he doesn't go terribly deep into games. Only twice has he finished three times out of those 8 has he finished the 7th inning. Okay? So I grant you that, but that level of pitching, 2 wins.
Yeah, 2 wins.
Out of 8 games, he's been able to earn the win twice, and he barely allows a base runner. He barely allows the other team to touch the ball. He's absolutely perfection personified on the mound right now.
He's incredible.
He is cocky, he is arrogant, he is all of those things, because when he winds up, he knows he's going to throw a dart exactly where he wants to throw it.
Last Monday, he faces Atlanta, 6 1/3, 2 hits allowed, 11 strikeouts. They lost the game.
They lost the game.
Because Frisbee guy,
one
Taylor
nothing
Rogers.
In the 10th inning.
1-0.
1-0, and that was the Chris Sale game, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. That's to your point about how it's gone. And that's just the way it goes.
In 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the 8 outings, he has given up no runs.
Yeah.
But only 2 wins. So why are we bringing all this up? You know, you brought up how much money. Yeah, I do feel like Blake Snell probably going to opt out.
Yeah. Yesterday.
He's the best pitcher in the game right
now. 7 innings, 1 earned, 6 hits, 10 punchies.
Best pitcher
no
in the
decision.
Game right now. No decision. No decision.
And if you're Blake Snell...
And in fact, he probably should have lost.
Right.
I mean, Mike Yastrzemski's nailing people at third base. The umpire's ringing up strikes on 3-0 pitches with the bases loaded that are out of the zone. He got some breaks.
Yep, he did. But if you're Blake Snell and you love pitching in that park and you're doing really well there, do you really want to come back and be a part of this team where you've got some of your most diehard fans yourself starting to come to terms with accepting mediocrity. Is that really what Blake Snell wants to be a part of, no matter what the money is?
Well, I have no idea about that. It's more, to me, this is still an in-the-moment, like, let's talk about Blake Snell being on this baseball team and the fact that their offense has reached a level of a lack of confidence to where you can have a pitcher go on a heater like this. And by the way, while this is all happening, maybe not right at the beginning, Logan was a little wobbly coming out of the All-Star break. He has been equally insane the last four starts out. Like, to have your 1-2 punch doing this. Now, the other three guys in the rotation, it's a little fits and starts. And Robbie Ray the other night, I don't know what's going on there. But so I understand all that. But to have your 1-2 punch doing this, and you can't give these guys two runs, you can't win these baseball games. They are so frustrating.
Yeah. 63-63.
They are so maddening to watch. And that's sort of my, that's where I'm at. It's not like, for a moment, it's not playoffs or not playoffs. They are infuriating to watch play baseball.
Yeah, it's tough.
And I do liken it to, I bet everybody can relate to this. I don't want to get too deep in the weeds, but like, we live in an age, especially for teens, where anxiety and depression is absolutely out of control. And watching it is painful. Watching someone go through that is painful, and the Giants have the baseball version of it. Like, you sit there and you're like, why? Why on earth? You come to the plate with a bat and you have like no intention of hitting the ball. You think they give up. They give up before the bat even starts in the biggest moments of the game. And it's just terrible to watch. Part of me understands it. I get why Bomel's like, well, we're not going to get a sac fly.
Yeah, you haven't.
We're not going to get situational hitting here because we're terrible at it. But I'd rather see them just keep swinging, man, and go down. Keep swinging. Don't give up before these at-bats even start. Safety squeeze, fifth inning, 0-0 game.
Hadn't scored since Thursday.
Swing the bat. I mean, see what happens. I don't know. Maybe you accidentally hit it.
You might, but the thing that's, I think, most maddening watching it as a Giants fan is that when the pitching was bad, not bad, when the pitching was not great earlier in the year, the offense was better. And now the pitching is, like you said, Snell and Webb have been amazing their last handful of starts, and now the offense has gone south. They haven't had the ability to have the hitting and the pitching line up at the same time. Yet, when you look at it, the math is still there.
Oh, boy.
And I hope Steiny's listening, because I didn't get a chance to hit him with that earlier. You're only four games out. And you've got the White Sox for three. And as I mentioned, the White Sox have
lost. This guy is such a D.
They've lost 31 of their last 35. So you sweep the White Sox.
They have to.
And then, yeah, I mean, that sets you up for a difficult final 5 weeks, but you know, your pitching is coming to shape. You get the best rotation in baseball.
You're gonna have a Ray and Harrison game in there. You have to do it now.
Totally.
You know, Snell game this week. You'll get a Snell game this week, not this series. No Snell game this series. You have to beat him without him. But it does feel like, I don't know, and I know you get all upset with the whole must-win thing.
Yeah.
Feels like they need to win all of these. It feels like they got to win all three.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't you think?
Well, White Sox, no slouch. They did.
Oh, yes, they are.
They did sweep Tampa this year, and they did sweep Cleveland. Oh, Cleveland was three out of four. No.
How long ago was that?
It was April.
Okay.
April.
They just recently snapped their, like, 22-game losing streak or whatever it was.
Sure did.
By winning a game?
Against the A's.
Yes, they beat the A's. Yeah,
they need Boston to snap the streak.
But after Chicago, Seattle, Milwaukee, then you get Miami, but then it's D-backs and Padres and Brewers and Padres and Orioles and Royals and D-backs and Cardinals.
Wait, I was looking at the wrong streak. That was their 12-game losing streak. Oh, I didn't look at their 22-game streak. My God.
We're sponsored by Robert Half. 888-957-9570. You'd liken watching the Giants to what? We can take some calls on that. Plus, there are comments recently made by both Fred Warner and George Kittle that you're going to want to hear. We'll get to all that coming up next. Willard and Dibs.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
What is your favorite or the best play on words using your last name that you've heard?
That ball got Schmidt on.
On 95.7 The Game.
I'm just over here. This is completely, completely off the subject, and I don't even know what the subject was. But I feel like throwing this topic out to the public. It's not a topic.
Okay.
It's an idea just for everybody to run around in their brain, and then we can move on. I don't know why my brain is here. Actually, I do. It's because I told you that kids are having the fantasy draft at the house tonight.
Yeah.
Watch the hustle when I leave today. Watch the hustle. I got to go.
Okay.
I got to go. Got to go get right?
Well, this is one of those days where it's critical because your car is blocking me in.
Don't you worry.
Okay.
I'm going to be halfway home by the time you get there. The hustle.
Like, my 11th favorite part of doing the show with you is our simultaneous walk to the car. It's about a 15-minute walk, and we don't walk together.
No.
And oftentimes we'll race, but it's not really a race. We're both walking, but we go different routes. And it's always fun to see at the very end who wins.
And very uncomfortable when at some point along the route,
yes,
we see each other and everyone has to act like they're not racing. But then it's head down and go. Yeah, anyway.
Anyhow.
Anyway, yeah. I'm sitting here over here on the app. I won't say which place, but I'm on the app, like, getting pizzas together. And I just sat here an hour ago and ate the leftover pizza from the weekend. And now I'm ordering more pizza for all of the people to come over and we're all going to eat the pizza. And I just, especially when you have kids and then fantasy and football and all of these things. And I thought to myself, this is kind of like the marble jar of life. How many pieces of pizza, when you get to the pearly gates, how many do you think you ate?
Not five, not six, right? Not seven.
How many? Like, just...
how many?
How many pieces of pizza? And whittle it down. How
That's a great question.
Thank you. How many do
and
you...
And that is a great question.
You missed a good one. You missed a really good one.
Yeah.
Was it Dontrell Willis?
Yeah, that was Dontrell that I just
Dontrell
played.
You guys had Dontrell Willis without me?
Yes. That's a great question.
And that I got, is
and,
wrong.
And I got that. I got that.
And I go back now.
I got the hell up out the seat when that happened.
You guys had the train on?
That's
the
a D-train? Great question.
Oh, yeah, and man. Ensel High?
And it was a buzzer beater. Well, the Bay Bridge series was coming to an end. And so we had Dontrell Willis on.
That hurts me, but go ahead.
And then I called him Oakland Zone, and director of sports got, no, I was right. Born in Oakland. Raised
in Alameda. Ensign, Ohio. I covered his NCS baseball championship game.
Where are you from? Where you were born or where you grew up?
That's a great question.
That is, you know, that is a great question.
Thank you, Dontrell.
That is a great question. I've had this debate with Steiny, because he's obviously not from here, but he's lived, I think, now half his life out here. So can he claim the Bay Area when you've lived here for more than half your life?
Well,
it's a nuanced thing.
Yeah, when you say where you're from, you got to go back to the roots.
I lived in Fairfax for 8 years. When I was 8, we moved, and then Petaluma, Santa Fe, a little bit of Fairfax. So I claim
you're from
Fairfax.
Marin. You're from Marin, but yeah, right. And Fairfax.
But
sure.
Fairfax is
you're from Marin.
Yeah. And then,
yeah,
even
I will never not be a peninsula kid.
Right, even though you haven't lived on the peninsula for 30
since
years.
Since I was 20.
Yeah. Anyway, how many pieces of pizza? I've got to be north of 5,000 pieces of pizza.
I'm going to eat it. Just imagine that.
What? And you've got me thinking about, you know, heaven and the pearly gates when, you know, you get there and it's like you can just ask God anything. Hey, God.
Hey.
God, if you have a minute. How many beers did I drink?
And that's a great question.
Right.
What's a bigger number, the pizza or the beer?
Oh, it's the beer.
See, for me, it's the pizza.
Yeah, well.
It's definitely
because you're like, a mid-major in the NCAA tournament.
I'm
you're one and done.
Straight-laced over here.
No, you're one and done.
No, but I also have.
You're like Drexel in the NCAA tournament. Yeah, you won the Colonial, but you're one and done.
Yeah.
You're getting knocked out.
No, that's true.
You're one and done.
I'm driving.
Yeah.
I always offer. I'm driving. I got one. I don't want to.
I'm like one of those monster programs.
Yeah, exactly.
Where we're going deep. We're going deep in the tourney.
No, but I'm also like, I still got kids who, pizza just shows up.
Yeah.
I don't even like, this is how it happened over the weekend. Somebody had my kid over, so I go to pick him up, and they're like, we got, here, take that. A whole pizza. They're just like, we got too much, and my kid won't eat it. I'm like, your kid won't. What's wrong with your kid? What do you
mean? I'm gonna
eat it. What's happening here? So you just end up with pizza that you didn't even try to get. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
Well, especially in a radio station.
Pizza's like dust. I can't. God, it's everywhere. It's everywhere.
That's kind of how I feel about football, where even like a preseason game, it's like pizza to me. Where it could be, you know, Baltimore against Seattle, preseason week 2. I'm going to watch it. And it's like pizza. I walk in this kitchen, and there could be 18-hour-old pizza from a sales meeting that happened yesterday.
Like,
I'm going to grab a slice.
That's going to be yes from me, dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. The preseason football thing.
It's like pizza.
Well, I like it in the background. It's a very comforting feeling to me to have football on in the background. But my God, there is nothing more unsatisfying. Maybe Giants with runners in scoring position, but there's nothing more unsatisfying than preseason football, because you want it on, even if you're like, oh, this is just background noise, right? It doesn't matter. And then you turn it on, and if you look at it, it's kind of like an eclipse. If you look at it too long, you're like, that's not football. And I don't know what it is about it. If it's that there's no fantasy impact, there's largely a lot of players that you haven't heard of. I'd say also you're noticing a lot of preseason games all end 13-10 because people, and I've had this now admitted to us by people who played. Once you're not like a rookie anymore, you're not playing at your hardest. They don't. They're not playing their hardest in preseason football. Who was that Steelers offensive lineman that was just oleing people? Who was that? Their right tackle was just like letting people by. He was like a doorman. Come on in. Welcome. They're not playing that hard. That's a known thing. The veterans, the rookies will be out there trying to make a name for themselves, and the veterans will be like, dude, slow down. Someone's going to get hurt out here.
Well, also, they don't scheme. You don't game plan. Right. So it's like, we're just going to run this play, and we're going to see how it goes. We're not going to scheme up an offense or our first 15 plays and the rest of it. And Kyle Shanahan didn't even call plays. He gave up the laminated play sheet. They're being called from up above. But your point is well made. This week, 14-13, 13-12. I see a 15-12.
Ooh.
I see a 13-6, a 9-3. A 16-15, a 13-9.
They're all the same 20
game. 20-7, 16-10, 27-2.
Who did that?
Denver the Packers. Yeah. They got a deuce.
Yeah, Denver. Denver, well,
Denver dropped a deuce on Green Bay.
All right, can we play with this for a second? Is this a teammate just being nice to his guy, or do you buy this at all?
From day one, I've been a Brock Purdy fan, and I always will be. I think he's one of the best in the league, and soon he will be the best, undisputed, right? But, you know, practice, I'm not even about to talk about no practice. I mean, if people want to make something out of practice with interceptions and all that other stuff, listen, you obviously have never been in the NFL if you're out there writing stories about interceptions in practice. But like Debo mentioned, he's going against one of the best defenses in the league. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, it's all good. We're not worried about that.
Okay, that's Fred Warner on Up and Adams, Kay Adams on FanDuel TV. There's that statement from last week, and it's like, okay, you're teammates.
Right.
But it's not just Brock's one of the best quarterbacks in the league, but he will be unquestioned the best QB in the league sometime soon. Patrick Mahomes is not going anywhere anytime soon, but even, like, I don't know to what level you believe what you see in the preseason, I see three quarterbacks who were taken in the top 12 who look very, very interesting right now. Drake May does not look interesting to me.
He looks better.
Michael Penix does not play football.
No.
But
Drake May look better in game two.
Watch Grandy get excited here. Bo Nix looks like a pro. Bo Nix looks under control. His feet, his vision, his heart rate. Everything is chilling. Now,
against twos and threes.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, some ones. He's starting.
Yeah.
Now, Jaden and Caleb look, they get right. They're flashy. And they're going to make plays with their, you know, their athletic ability that are just insanity. But Bo Nix looks like he's been here for 4 years already. So add those guys to the mix that's already out here. Is this just a completely harebrained statement, or how do you translate that?
Harebrained is taking it out of context. It's an unbelievable vote of confidence for his teammate, but it's his teammate. So honestly, what is he supposed to say? You know what? When all said and done, he's going to be a solid top 10 quarterback in this league. No, he probably went too far with his praise for Brock Purdy, but he's entitled to his opinion, and he sees it up close. But when you just take that statement and you look at it under the umbrella of what's really going on in the National Football League, well, you've got a guy who's won back-to-back Super Bowls, who some people are already putting on the Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks in the history of the game.
Absolutely they are.
Which I think is premature, but he sure looks to be a good quarterback, and you could pick four or five or six or eight other quarterbacks who have been around longer and done as much, if not more, than Brock Purdy.
Is Patrick Mahomes, correct me if I'm remembering this incorrectly, the five-year run right now goes Super Bowl victory, and then 2 years where it was Super Bowl loss, AFC championship loss, Super Bowl victory, Super Bowl victory. That's a five-year run.
Sounds about right.
Nothing worse than AFC championship, right?
Yeah, they lost in overtime to the Bengals.
To the Bengals. And then they lost the Bucks in the Super Bowl.
They beat the Niners in the bowl. They lost to the Bucks 31-9 in the bowl. They lost in overtime to the Bengals in the conference championship game. Then they beat the Eagles. They beat the Niners in the Super Bowl. 5-year run.
I don't think people are being premature at all. I mean, who the hell else has done that?
I don't think that Brady had a run like that.
Brady and Montana don't even have a 5-year run like that. Pretty good.
It's a good run.
It's pretty good. It's
got a great coach.
Well, that's true. That's true.
You know, because we always give Kyle the credit when they win. Some people do.
Yeah.
But it's a great run. But to Fred's quote, yes, I wouldn't say that it's harebrained. It's a guy who is praising his teammate. And, you know, pretty soon he's going to be the best in the game. Well, you better hope you have this sort of a 5-year run. And so far he's got, you know, he's got a conference championship loss, which Mahomes had, and a Super Bowl loss, which Mahomes had. So now you need to go out and win three Super Bowls. If that happens,
then I think people would agree with him.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to be very, very difficult company to keep, though. Like, part of this is, and I look at C.J. Stroud from last year, and I think he's so fantastic, but I also think that a little piece of it is just the accessibility of a year like that. Because the game is different now, because the game is so centered around quarterbacks, defensive backs can't touch anybody out there anymore, defensive linemen can't touch the quarterback. You have like a 2-inch area on his chest where you're allowed to hit a quarterback, and even then, don't hit him hard and don't fall on him and all of that stuff, and it makes things so comfortable. Like the idea of a rookie QB coming in and looking like that used to be absurd. Even players like Peyton Manning, he came in and led the league in interceptions as a rookie. Houston was not some, it's also not like he had some great team around him. They became that because of him. So we're going to see more of that. I don't want to say we're going to see it all the time. That takes something away from CJ, and I don't want to do that. But we're going to see more of that. I don't know if their teams are ready to win, but let me say this right now. Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, they're going to be factors. I shouldn't say this before next week. They will be factors in your fantasy football league right away.
For sure.
Right away.
Because the majority of the offense is going to be through them. Passing, running, all the above. And they're going to be on teams that are probably trailing a lot. And so they're going to be throwing a lot. Bo Nix is an interesting one because Denver, they'll probably be better than they've been, but that's a difficult division. And I don't think that the Broncos' offense is going to be that great. So Bo Nix is going to be in a spot if he wins the starting job, and it looks like that he will. It's going to be a challenge, I think, early in the year because they're not going to be that great. Even though they have a good head coach, I think that Denver, he's not going to go the Chase Young route where they were so dreadful. It's hard to really look at what Bryce Young.
Yes.
It's hard to really look at what he was going to be or what he is because that team is so bad.
By the way, there's some people on the Xfinity mobile text line, and I see you, and this is a fair point. They're already correcting us. It's not a 5-year run, it's a 6-year run. Because prior to beating the 49ers in the Super Bowl, they were in the AFC title game that year too.
There you go.
And lost to the New England Patriots in a very, very close game. So Patrick Mahomes, really, since he started playing.
Yeah.
Like, the AFC title game could be named after him. He's there every year.
Yeah, it's wild.
Every single year since he really got going in the league.
Man, last year was maybe the most impressive of all of it because everybody was saying, well, the offense isn't that great, and you were even mentioning it earlier in the show how, you know, you look at the offense was not really as good as it had been, and yet the defense got better, and Patrick Mahomes just has a knack for winning football games.
I did not think they were going to the Super Bowl at all. And if am I remembering correct? It was they beat Miami in the snow in Kansas City. Then they had to go on the road and beat Buffalo?
Yes, and then they went on the road.
And then they went on the road and beat Baltimore.
Yeah.
And then as an underdog went to Vegas and beat the 49ers.
Yeah.
Just forget even the building. Think of that 4-game stretch. In any building, Miami, Buffalo, Baltimore, 49ers, and you win them all? What are you talking about? That's absurd.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So he deserves all of it, and sure, I'm not, like, bothered by what Fred said. That's any linebacker, they're going to pump up their QB, but you're talking about a real interesting crop right now, and as far as where Brock sits in that, I don't believe, and I've told you this before, I don't believe that the narrative will ever really truly change. I really don't. I think Brock's entire career, and there are players who I think could be a comp for this. Just the first name that comes to mind is like maybe Eli Manning. There are players who will span their whole career, and they might just have success and success and success and success, and we're just going to find reasons to be like, but they're not actually good. They're not actually good players. They're okay players, and you'll get made fun of for you know, like, I don't know, acknowledging the good things that they do. Eli Manning still to this day, not Hall of Famer. Well, but he's going to go to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And so you can get mad at him being a Hall of Famer. The guy's, he beat Tom Brady in two Super Bowls.
Yeah.
That's pretty special.
And that's ultimately where you get the credit. If Brock Purdy goes on to win a Super Bowl or two, he's going to get his flowers. And that's why Eli gets it. And
does he though?
He does. I mean, I personally, I think that Eli Manning, he was a good quarterback. If he didn't win those two Super Bowls, we wouldn't be talking about him in the Hall of Fame. His numbers.
Correct.
His just raw numbers. He played a long time, and he has pretty good numbers, but Philip Rivers had a better statistical career, but Eli Manning goes to the Hall of Fame before Philip Rivers.
Philip's probably going to end up in there, too, though.
Yeah, that's one that I don't agree with, but I've stopped pushing back on that because it's probably going to happen.
Yeah, where does he sit on the passing chart?
In yards?
Yeah.
I think he's like eighth, maybe even higher, sixth. He's up there.
All-time NFL.
He was a career aggregator.
Passing leaders. Yeah, I mean, sure, you can make that argument. I don't think that's, Philip Rivers number six all time.
Yeah.
His 63,440 yards. And if you just want the company he keeps, like the top 10, Brady, Breeze, Manning, Favre, Roethlisberger, Rivers, Ryan, Marino, Rodgers, Eli Manning.
Yeah.
They're all going to go. But you also notice they're all from the exact same era.
Yeah, for the most part.
Yeah.
And it's,
which is why I think we're going to keep seeing this.
But
this,
if you run through that list, the majority of those guys, or a lot of those guys, have Super Bowl rings. Matt Ryan doesn't.
Rivers doesn't.
Yep.
Everybody else does.
Marino, I think you also mentioned him. Marino, he doesn't have one.
Marino.
Yeah, and stats have gotten skewed now.
Rivers, the only one who's never even been to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Never even been.
But I do think it's interesting about Brock Purdy, but a Super Bowl changes everything. But, you know, you're sitting here on this rookie deal and you're still Mr. Irrelevant. Once you go and you win the Super Bowl, if you're able to get that done, the Mr. Irrelevant thing becomes just the headline in your movie, in your lifetime after school special. I think that, you know, you get to that group. I think only 34 quarterbacks have ever won the Super Bowl.
Right.
I think that's the number. So if you join that elite club, you get your flowers no matter what, even if you're Trent Dilfer or Brad Johnson.
I guess, I mean, flowers. You know, I look at Eli Manning right now, and sure, he'll make the Hall of Fame, but I don't think most people do. Like, there's an argument there, and people are bothered by it, and people don't want to put Eli Manning next to the other names, even though he has thrown for, 14,000 more yards than Dan Fouts.
Yeah, well,
who played under something called Air Coryell. You know what I mean? Like, Eli Manning is thrown for more yards than John Elway. He's thrown for more yards than Warren Moon. He's won more Super Bowls. That, you know, all of that stuff. But it's still like there's the and that's the number. What was he? The number four pick in the draft? He's a top five pick. So it's not
it's
even
because of his face.
It's because of his face.
It's because the way he would, like, kind of mope around out there.
In the face!
Right. And I do think that that's part of, you know, just the way people will perceive athletes, you know, body language and demeanor and all the rest of it.
I just think there's certain people where there's, the world is lined up to go crazy when something doesn't look good. So even last night, the world is lined up. See, Brock Purdy can't play without receivers. I don't think that's ever going to go away.
I have a question based on what Fred Warner said about his quarterback, and I'll give you that on the other side.
Wow.
Who was that?
That was quite a tease. What was that? Director of sports, Lucas Alexander. Well, nobody's going to go away now.
Future greatest quarterback of all time. I mean, that's what he just called his quarterback.
We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises, and Lucas pays off a tease. Coming up next on Willard and Dibbs.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.